I have been heartened once again about the outpouring of organized efforts by Missourians. I barely have time to answer the phone with the number of people that are reaching out to help us. You know, millions of dollars have already been contributed. Our partners at the Red Cross are doing just an outstanding job. The other folks, and once again, we have that button at mo.gov if folks want to contribute directly here. Whether it's the large contributions, we've had $1 million contributions, or the little ones, the $5 and $10 ones. You know, the fact that folks from all over the country are seeing Missouri at a time in which people could be divided, and instead they're united in three specific things. One is to rescue folks that are alive. Two is to recover people if they're not alive and get them back. And three is to rebuild. But contained within that is going to be. So I've been just impressed by the fact that you know, privates are working next to colonels and firemen are working with. Police officers, and everybody's backing up and letting them do their work. I think the people of our state are stepping forward in a strong and resourceful way. Yes, ma'am. I'm not seeing anything to change that as far as the official number. I would pass on to the 5 o'clock where they'll have an update on all the numbers. We're going to develop a way in which on a daily basis you get numbers so that everybody gets the same numbers once a day. You know, it's from a single source. That'll start at 5 o'clock tonight. Yes, sir.
Well, we've already talked about the number of homes and businesses damaged or destroyed. We don't have any houses of worship.
I learned about more of them in the last meeting than I knew when I went in. We thought that there were three, but there's certainly more than that. You've had some completely destroyed. I do not have that count. We'll work to get that count. Quite frankly, even among the churches that have had you know, significant damage, the Methodist Church, the Catholic Church, the Baptist Church, boy, those folks, the folks that belong to those churches are out working as hard as anybody to man the volunteer area. I think it is, the weather is, looks like it's going to be sunny on Sunday, and they're not going to have a roof over them, but something tells me they're going to be worshiping. Yeah, anybody else? Yes,
sir. Can you update us on the search for the missing, including what's being done for them, whether anyone's found today, and also maybe address some concerns that we've heard today about folks who are not getting information fast enough or quick enough about you know, lists of the missing, lists of the found, and how
right. I'll pass the formality of that on to the 5 o'clock when they put the numbers out and go through the processes. And I think it's important. I think you'll hear at that setting, you know, kind of what the processes are that folks are going through. I mean, when you have folks that are lost, when you have folks that are missing, we are very cognizant of needing to talk to those families first and trying to get to the families. I'm going to back over to the morgue area after I leave here to thank some of the workers that have come in to assist us. I would push you to the 5 o'clock where they'll lay out exactly the process we're going to go through from here out. Our plan is from here, our process would be to work with the city, work with the state and the local folks to have a daily briefing on missing, daily briefing, and an access point where if there are folks that are still missing, that we can use every resource, and quite frankly, the media is one of the top resources to find folks. And we want to use that mass communication form to do it. But I would pass the specifics on to that to the 5 o'clock session. Yeah. I'm very sensitive to those to the needs of folks out there. Believe me, we've and the losses. I mean, we have a mounting total. I mean, pretty much every few hours, the number's been added to the number of folks that have been lost. And I'm very sensitive to that. The folks that are missing, we are extremely sensitive to that. That's why, you know, we've come back down here today to make sure we get an organized fashion to release that. But I want to say the focal point of the effort for law enforcement and first responders has been to cover every inch of the field as many times as necessary so that they get absolute certainty that if there are any folks that there are living, that they are going to be rescued. That process yesterday yielded two folks that but far that process would not have been saved. And until the folks that are in the field give everybody an all clear, the focal point will remain on trying to rescue and save the folks that are there. I know there's a tremendous amount of stress out there for folks who are missing. I appreciate the lack of information. One of the reasons I'm down here today is to put in place the process starting this afternoon at 5 o'clock, in which they go through what the process is, they lay out in a public fashion what stage they're at, and they begin the process of releasing out there in public the available names, where there have been proper identification, where there's been proper notification. But we are not going to notify people of horrific occurrences vis-a-vis the press. We're going to make sure that we go through a process in which individual families hear directly from people who are trained to deal with those difficult issues, hear from them first, listen to them, and then contact inside out, not outside in. Yes, ma'am. I wouldn't want to speak for the White House. I've talked to the president twice. You know, it our full expectation, and once again, I do not have confirmation of his exact schedule. When last time I talked to him, he said he wanted to come in on Sunday, so we expect him here on Sunday, probably somewhere in the middle of the day zone. My schedule on Sunday will include being here. I'll get down here and be here. We're doing some work on Sunday, but my focal point is, memorial service at 1 o'clock on Sunday.
Guys, we've got time for one more.
Governor, given the amount of other structure for the scale.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. I mean, this was an F5 tornado that was for a single occurrence. I think, I don't mean to get into competition anyway here, but as deadly as any that's ever struck in a single occurrence in the United States, I don't know what building code you could ever write that would keep a tornado from picking up a car and throwing it a half a mile. I don't know that you could do a building code that would stop a eight-story hospital from having the top two stories ripped off, and that hospital move 4 inches on its foundation. I mean, when you're talking about an F5 tornado, you're going to have to people are going to have to get. I mean, I think shelter is as much as important as anything. There are some powers that are huge, but we'll look at all of those as we work on recovery here to make sure we rebuild a stronger community. The point we want to make is we are going to rebuild. This community is going to revive. Even though the damage here is extreme, as I said to somebody else, when I was out there yesterday morning, I got out a little before dawn, and it was the first nice weather we'd had in a long time. It's quiet, the wind wasn't blowing, the sun was coming up, and you almost felt like you were walking on the hallowed ground of a battlefield. Everybody here's been out there too, and it had that sense to it. I only make that analogy in that I think that the people of this community are going to come together. I'm confident the state will, and we're going to battle our way back, whatever it takes, and build a stronger community back. If that stronger community includes tougher buildings, it will. But I don't think we should. I don't know that man can build something strong enough to have no damage with the strength of what came through here. I mean, I know that we can tie things down. I know that we can use a little different materials. But when you have F5 tornado moving as slow as this one does, I mean, this is this is as strong a force as has ever touched this state, that's for sure. And we'll rebuild as strong as we can. I'll take one more if anybody's got one. Last piece, these guys behind me. There will be a lot of individual pain that these faith leaders are going to have to find a place in their strength to lead their community on. The folks behind me and the folks out front of me are gonna preach it at many, many funerals, are gonna counsel many, many people who have lost loved ones and homes. I feel their strength, and I feel the strength of this community. And that strength is more than bricks and mortar, and it's more than regulations. It's about something inside us, and the very moving meeting we had with the clergy leaders of this community over the last hour has been one of the most confidence-building and inspirational moments of my tenure in public service. I am honored and pleased to be around these fine faith leaders. Thank you all very much.